Chapter 8. Back Home. Ella. Mama and Helen were fighting. They were shouting in the bedroom. "Oh, don't be angry," said Mama. "I won't be away for a long time." "You only think of yourself, Lucille," said Helen. "I do not," said Mama. "I have to go to New York. This could be a great job for me." New York? Why was Mama talking about New York? Helen came out of the bedroom and saw me. "Good morning. Did you sleep okay?" she asked, but she did not wait for me to answer. She walked over to me, put her hands on my shoulders, and took me to the kitchen. There was a man there. "Ella, this is Philip," said Helen. "He's your mama's friend. He's going to take you back to Charleston today." "What?" I said. Helen did not say any more. She left me in the kitchen with Philip. Philip smiled at me, but I did not smile back. "Why am I going back to Charleston?" I asked Philip. "Mama didn't tell me." He laughed. I did not like Philip. After a few minutes, Mama came into the kitchen with Helen. "Mama," I said, "what is happening?" "Did you have a nice time in Boston, Ella?" asked Mama, but she did not look at me. I did not understand why Mama was asking me that, but I said yes anyway. Mama smiled, but it was a sad smile. "That's good," she said. "I'm happy that you had fun, but now it's time for you to go home. I may have a new singing job in New York."
"You're moving to New York?"
I asked. "Maybe," said Mama. "I have to try. It's very important for me. That's why you have to go back to Alkaloo." She started to cry. "I'm sorry, Ella." Mama cried when she said goodbye to me at the train station, but they were not real tears. Mama was not really sad. She was pretending. I knew that Mama wanted me to leave. She did not really want me in her life. After I got onto the train, I sat for a long time, thinking. "I need to find JP," I thought. "Who is he? If my mama doesn't want me, maybe my daddy does." Philip fell asleep quickly on the train. That was fine, because I did not want to talk to him. There were a lot of black people on the train. They were all using the bathroom near me, so I used it too. When I was walking back to my seat, I heard some of the people talking.
"His name is George Stinney, Jr."
I stopped and listened to them. "Did they say George Stinney?"
"Did he do it?" asked a lady.
"Maybe," said a man. "I don't know what to believe."
"But he's only 14, said another man. "How could he kill two girls by himself?"
I sat down in my seat. I could not believe what I heard. George Stinney was a good boy. He never hurt anyone. I knew that they were wrong. Maybe there was another George Stinney. I fell asleep. When I woke up, we were at Charleston Station. I looked through the window, and I saw Granny on the platform waiting for me. As soon as the train stopped, I ran to her and hugged her. She smelled like home. Philip came to say hello to Granny and goodbye to me.
I smiled when Philip walked away. I was happy that I did not have to see him anymore. Granny and I were walking toward the truck when Henry jumped out in front of me. "Henry," I said, "you scared me." Henry laughed. "You're a city girl now. City girls don't get scared so easily." Henry hugged me. I knew that he was happy to see me again. I was happy to see him, too. I was happy to finally be home. In the truck on the way home, Granny and Henry asked me questions about Boston. "There are a lot of big buildings in Boston," I said, "and lots of different kinds of foods." "What about your mama?" asked Henry. "How was she?" I did not want to talk about mama, so I talked about Boston some more. "Did you know, in Boston, black people are allowed to drink from any water fountain?" "That's not possible," said Henry. "She's not lying," said Granny. "It's true." When we got home, I remembered what the people on the train said about George Stinney. "Did something happen to George Stinney?" I asked Granny. "People on the train were talking about him." Granny looked sad. She put her hand on my shoulder. "We don't know much yet, but we need to pray for George."